When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. It's team news time ahead of Friday's deadline for game week one. My name is Joe, and as ever for the team news weekly roundup, I'm joined by Neil, Fantasy Football Scout's editor. Neil, welcome. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, not too bad, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. This is now my, I think, seventh video I've been covering for David this week. So, yeah, someone on Twitter asked me if I'd revealed my team or something like that, or my thoughts on something. And I was just like, well, oh, can't shut me up about it. I've been on YouTube all week talking about it. So I'm back now, but this is all about you, and it's all about team news and about those press conferences that you've been looking at. Just before we move on, just want to urge everyone to press that like button if you're in the live stream at the moment, and if you're watching a bit later, do press that like button. And also do subscribe so you can keep up to date with all our latest content and our latest YouTube videos, and also our podcasts as well, wherever you get your podcasts from. Welcome to some of those joining us in the live chat. Quite a few hundred of you joining us. So it's game week one, so lots of very eventful day, as we'll discuss. Welcome to Helen, Rodriv, Kevin, John, John Lloyd, John Chapman, Piaz, Biss, Heady, Let's Talk Vinyl, and more. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's just crack on. We've got a match tonight, haven't we? Burnley against Manchester City.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just go. I've got a couple of tweets on the screen. Let's be kind. Let's start with the home side first. Back in the Premier League, Burnley. What has Vincent Kompany been saying ahead of this clash?
One of a few managers today who hasn't, or yesterday as it was for Burnley, who hasn't given us actually any injury updates that I've seen. We do know that Obafemi's out. He wouldn't have started anyway. And they've had two absentees this pre-season, notable ones. Cullen, who's a central midfielder, and then Manuel Benson as well, who you might know from Championship last season, who was banging them in. They haven't played, Benson hasn't played at all. Cullen hasn't been featured since, I think, July 22nd. So, obviously, concerns about those two. There was talk from Kompany about his number ones. Obviously, he didn't commit to who he's going to pick between Muric and Trafford, but that he would give Trafford his debut eventually, whether that's this weekend or in the future. And he also said that Sander Berger, who's a new signing this week from Sheffield United, is ready to play as well. But all a bit vague on the team news, actually.
Okay. And as for Man City, though, obviously, understandably, a lot of interest in the treble winners of last season. What's the latest there from Pep? And can we trust him this time around?
Yeah. Well, he was his typical loquacious self. Yesterday in the press conference, of course he wasn't. He gave us one, two-word answers on a lot of things. He did at least tell us that they had a clean bill of health. We'll come on to that in a second. But the two players he was asked of, so one was Nathan Ake and one was Guardiola, the new signing, new centre-half. Ake is fine. He missed out last weekend in a Community Shield, but he's all right.
Okay.
Guardiola is available for selection as well, following his big money move. There was talk last night on Twitter. Now, again, this is completely unreported, unconfirmed. Mm. It's from an unusually reliable source that Ruben Dias might miss out on this one. But this being the Friday night game, you might find out something more concrete closer to the half six deadline, because we tend to get early team news, don't we, for the first game of a game week. So we'll keep your eyes peeled on that, because that could have implications for the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with Diaz, if he perhaps hasn't travelled, we won't see him getting off the coach, for example. So that could get alarm bells. And I think he had a sort of there was concussion worries from the Community Shield. So that could be, I mean, there's logic behind it, but we don't know. As you said, it's unconfirmed. So that's a bit annoying if you're looking to back Diaz. Probably okay if you're backing, say, Stones, for example, or perhaps some of those other assets. Who do you think is going to start in goal? Rumours that Ortega might take the place of Ederson.
Yeah, rumours. There was a tweet from Alex, who's one of the City experts on on Twitter, who would have been listening to a podcast, I think. And was it Sam Lee mentioned this?
Yeah.
He said if Pep had said that if, reportedly said that if Ederson hadn't had such a strong end to the season, then Ortega was in line to overthrow him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's anything to read into the Community Shield last weekend, because you often get cup goalkeepers mm-hmm. playing in those sort of games anyway with Pep. But yeah, for a player who was once the rotation route proof into the City defence, all of a sudden is no longer that, I think.
And Foden as well, lots of interest there. I'm presuming he no injury worries as well, but very unclear whether he'll start or not.
Yeah, even more so if they bring in Paquetar as well from West Ham. But I've gone with him in the line, but just purely because it's a different sort of game to last weekend. You know, against Arsenal, those are the types of game that Pep likes, his control, and that's his word. The likes of Kovacic and Bernardo bring that. Mm-hmm. Whereas against Burnley, you know, you probably want to go a bit more attacking. For a few more runners in the box, so Foden certainly that. So I think there's a much better chance of him starting, of course, without any guarantees.
Okay, well, let's move on to Saturday's game. First game up, Arsenal against Nottingham Forest. Clashes with the Women's World Cup, rather annoyingly. So I won't be watching the Arsenal game. But what is the latest from the home side?
Pretty good. So the two longer-term ones, Gabriel Jesus and Elneny as well, both in the injuries, they're both out, as we knew. But everyone else sounds like they're fine, so there's minor concerns over Reece Nelson, like Balogun as well. Jorginho missed out last weekend. They seem to be all fine. Mm-hmm. Zinchenko's back in training as well. He was he wasn't involved in the Community Shield. He did play 11 minutes of a charity match last weekend. So that's the sum total of his pre-season involvement, so he's obviously not match fit yet. And it's just a case now of who appears up top and then what the effect of that is. So if it's if it is Havertz, then again, as it was last weekend, then it could be Rice and Partey in midfield again. Trossard can play as an eight. Havertz can play as an eight. Trossard can play up top. Trossard can play on the left wing. So there's and of course there's Nketiah as well, who's a more orthodox striker. So he's got a lot of options. Again, a bit like City, you'd think he would select a more horses for courses team. Not quite as defensive. Havertz is probably the most defensive of the striker options for City. Does he want that in a home game against Nottingham Forest, the worst team on the road last season? I think he will go a bit more attacking tomorrow.
I just want to plug one of our videos we did this week. It was the Goals Imminent video I did with Tom. That was a special on super subs. We were looking for some of the low-owned players. But because of the new rules, the referees are cracking down on time-wasting, we could see matches go anything up to 20 minutes or so longer. So for those subs, like your likes of Trossard, I mean, Arsenal are a good place to bring this up, the likes of Trossard, even if they don't start, they might get anything up to about 50 minutes or so. So that could be enough time to do damage rather than just sort of usually the last 10, 20 minutes against tired legs. So it's just something to bear in mind. Nottingham Forest, last season, those watching the team news will know that we can't often judge what Cooper has to say. Sometimes he says players are fit and sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. So what has he been saying this time?
Yeah, I mentioned this in the team news tab this week. In fact, I'm going to start doing that every week because there should be a disclaimer on the Nottingham Forest entry that you shouldn't necessarily believe any of these words. So he said that Felipe is definitely unavailable and that Taiwo Awoniyi and Moussa Niakate are probably going to miss out. They're back in training, I think, or Nia returns to training. This game would probably come too soon. We've heard comments like that last season and they've appeared in the matchday squad or even in the starting 11. So don't be surprised if that happens. Wayne Hennessy, I think, is the only player who's definitely out alongside Felipe.
Okay.
Because Brennan Johnson's fit now.
Okay, and they've got Matt Turner as well. I just noticed in the live chat that Matt Turner signed from Arsenal. And someone was asking about Dean Henderson being injured. Dean Henderson was at Forest. He is not actually at Forest. He's at Manchester United. So hold fire on those Dean Henderson questions, because we will approach that when we come to Manchester United, because he still is of interest to Nottingham Forest. But whether he's fit or not, that's something for the Manchester United section. Let's have a look at the next match we've got on the list here. Bournemouth against West Ham. Probably going to be minimal FPL interest in here, so we won't dwell on it too long. But, you know, what's the latest at Bournemouth first?
They've got, I think, five or six out. Adam Smith, Fredericks, Tavernier, Kelly, and the new signing as well, Alex Scott, who's going to be out for months, apparently. Mm. I think the medical showed up a more serious problem than what they...
Oh, really? Oh.
They still signed him anyway. So they're all out. Semenyo, who has been out for a long time, is back in training, so bench duty at best, you would think.
Okay.
There was a couple of omissions last weekend. Solanke was on the bench, I think, only used, and Ryan Christie missed out altogether. I think they were more precautionary. But the boss today said that there's going to have to be late checks on players, so they could be two of the unnamed players mentioned.
Okay, and West Ham visiting. The usual David Moyes transfer window, not very exciting. But is have there been any players coming in for West Ham?
One so far, and that's Edson Álvarez, and he can't play tomorrow because he hasn't trained since the Gold Cup with Mexico, so he's not match fit. They should be getting a few more in the coming days. So Ward-Prowse is apparently on his way. Harry Maguire as well.
Mm.
And maybe one or two others on top of that. Probably a striker, you would think. I don't think there's any injury news apart from Álvarez, who's, as I say, not match fit. And we didn't get any information from Moyes, from what I've seen. And we weren't aware of any problems anyway. So there might have been nothing to clear up. Mm. Moyes did say that Paquetar had been the subject of a bid by Man City, but it was well short of the valuation.
Okay. That would be very unusual for a big club to put in a low ball
derisory offer,
offer for a player of massive quality to a lesser team. But that can come back to bite a team, as we'll come to in a moment. Well, hello, let's come back to it now. Brighton against Luton. So lots going on at Brighton at the moment. The Caicedo, where's he going to go?
Yeah. If you watched Klopp's press conference this morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, as I did, then you'd have been convinced he was on his way at Liverpool, because Klopp was even talking about it. Normally you'd expect the manager to say, oh, you know, I can't say anything. He's still technically a Brighton player. He seemed very bullish on the fact that Caicedo was coming. And then we've heard within that four-hour period that Caicedo prefers a move to Chelsea, I think, and Chelsea are going to follow up with to match Liverpool's bid for him, so God knows where he's going to end up. He certainly won't be at Brighton, I think, next season. And De Zerbi's already forgetting about him.
Yeah.
That was the manager's quote this afternoon. Okay. He says he's not even in his head anymore. So he's out the equation. Of the people he's still got at his disposal, there's two concerns. Lallana and Webster were mentioned by De Zerbi. Mm-hmm. He said he's not going to take any risks, I think, with Webster in particular. Important to the team. So maybe Van Hek alongside Dunk.
Okay.
They've also got the new sign-in as well, isn't it?
Eagle from Fiorentina.
That's right, yeah.
I think might get the nod for this one.
Do you think?
Possibly,
He's not featured much in pre-season for Brighton. I mean, he came as a substitute, didn't he, last weekend? But could be. Mm. Take your best shot at the lineup, because they've got competition in pretty much every place now, apart from the stupid hands.
Yeah.
Still haven't got another left back. No. But yeah, I mean, there's three options up top: Welbeck, Ferguson, Pedro. Pedro, of course, can play in the 10, where Enciso and Lallana play. You've got Buonanotte on the right with March. You've got Adingra. Is it Adingra as well?
Adingra, he's been covering for Mitoma.
Mitoma on the left, yeah.
So, competition there.
Yeah, he looked really good. He scored twice, didn't he, in pre-season? Yep. So there's competition all over the park. Mm. As we'll find out, I think, when the Europa League gets underway, and the rotation will probably hot up a lot then.
Now, I've signed up to Emma on Twitter's, Emma, known as at Jump the Wave. She's got a sort of a hive mind going on of different fans of clubs. She's been doing it for a long time with Man City and Chelsea. People like Luke have been commenting on the Man City one. In the past. So she's opened that up to like Brighton and a few others. And so I'm part of the Brighton one. So I'm probably wrong for lots of these, but I think he'll go with Welbeck up front, supported by Pedro. I think their record signing, at home for the first home game, I think it would be odd for him not to play. He's had such a great pre-season, especially with doubts over Lallana, who Lallana can play in that number 10 role. Yeah. I think Matoma and March will play. In the middle of the park is going to be no Casado. McAllister's gone to Liverpool, so it's probably Dahoud and Gilmour, I would imagine.
In the line, you know better than me, but that's exactly the same front six that have gone.
And I would imagine Pascal Gross needs to be played somewhere, and there's a space on the right right back, so he'll go there. Stupinan on the left, and Van Heck or Igor. It's tough to call. I've gone for Igor, but I could be very wrong on that. Dunk will play. And it looks like Steele has the nod there.
De Zerbi's confirmed that today. So, but he did stress that there will be rotation between the two this season. Yeah. So I just avoid the keepers, I think.
There was just another point. He mentioned in a quote about Pedro saying he was a crack player. I sort of misheard that and thought, oh my God, what have I done getting Pedro into my side? He didn't mean that he was a bad player. He meant he was a crack. Apparently means legendary in Spanish. So he meant that he could be a Brighton legend. So that's great praise. So I just thought I'd mention that. Luton play them. Gone from non-league to this, to the cauldron that is the Amex. How are Luton set up for this?
Yeah, is it Pelly? Mpanzu has gone with them all the way, hasn't he? He's gone through all five divisions.
Yeah.
They are missing four players, three of them defenders. Potts and Clark are the latest ones. They were injured last weekend, and they're going to be out for months, I think, with ankle problems. They've also got Gabriel Osho and Reece Burke missing for this. Mads Andersen, who I think is some people's formerly defender, not loads of people's, but looks good for game time. He wasn't involved last weekend, but he was only ill. He was on the bench. He just Edwards explained that he just wasn't going to risk him. He's played loads over pre-season and he didn't need the game time, so he didn't risk him with the illness, so he should be all right.
Okay, let's move on to Everton Fulham. As all the hallmarks of a garden centre clash, as our former colleague Mark Southerns would say. It could be exciting though. Who knows? How are Everton set up? And will Calvert-Lewin play?
That reminds me of the line from Gareth Keenan in The Office where he says, "Could still be fun though." At the end of it, undermining it. Yeah. I don't think he's going to start by the sounds of what Vice was saying. He says he'd started his pre-season 2 weeks earlier, then he would have gotten more game time in him. Mm-hmm. I think the best he's managed so far is 45 minutes. So it sounds very much like they're not even sure he's going to be in the squad. I think they're going to make a late call on that. But definitely not from the start, I think. Mm-hmm. Unless Dice is lying, which he doesn't often do.
Okay. Well, that's the way it's played out last season. I mean, we don't know whether Calvert-Lewin's going to play.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And they don't want to risk him. They want to get him absolutely ship-shape, so I don't think so. We do know that Tarkowski is fit. Okay. He was fine. He picked up a knock, but he's all right. Mm-hmm. McNeil, Dele Alli, and Seamus Coleman are out. McNeil for weeks. Okay. Dan Juma's back in training.
Okay.
A bit like Calvert-Lewin, I think, that he might not be match fit. Gleish had said, I think, last weekend that he will be fit, but I doubt he will be fit, which I think means match fit.
Right, yeah.
But apart from that, I think that's it.
Okay, with Fulham, now obviously live chat want to know about Mitrovic, could be potentially option, but he wanted to go earlier in the summer. Then they signed Jimenez. Now Mitrovic is still there. Is he available? Will Mitrovic start this?
He's certainly available, yeah. Silva, I think, was trying to make downplay the whole controversy, but even he admitted that he has to make a decision on whether he's going to start or not. He got a few minutes last weekend against Hoffenheim, and then I think in a behind closed doors game against the same team as well. But does he reward that insolence with a start, or does he persevere with Raúl Jiménez, of course, who scored last weekend, started and scored against Hoffenheim? Mm-hmm. I suspect that might be the case. Mitrovic comes off the bench.
Okay.
Injury wise, João Paulinho is out, not far away with that shoulder problem. Kearney and Pereira are the players' name checks have been doubts with sort of minor issues. Pereira's just back from a layoff himself, but he might not start.
Okay, and Paulinho, won't be in many teams, won't be in any teams probably, but he is important to show up their midfield and help their prospects of a clean sheet there. So if he is out, that can help Everton attackers, whoever they may be.
They need all the help they can get if they've got Neil Mopai up top.
definitely, yeah. And as a Brighton fan, I know that's not a nice prospect. Okay, let's move on. Sheffield United back in the Premier League, but possible changes behind the scenes at that club mean that they are offloading their best players, I understand. And I'm not quite sure who they are left with. So Sheffield United, they face Crystal Palace. What has the manager been saying about particularly those departures?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I was talking to FPL Blade, who did our Q&A for the site, and I think he was representative of a lot of Sheffield United fans, and that the party has very much been pooped by all these sales and the lack of incomings as well, plus injuries. So they're left with a very, very thin squad for game week one. So you know Sander Berger and Dye have left. He was their main striker last season, certainly that was highly thought of. Bogle and Koulibaly are out. Brewster and Norrington Davis, they've been out since, I think, last year, 2022, and they've been slowly integrated into training, so that will see them. I think those reports are John Fleck fractured his leg.
Yeah.
Oliver Norwood he had a head injury, needed stitches in one of the recent preseason friendlies, but he might be back. McBurney and Jefferson, a couple of strikers, who I think previously were earmarked for this. And Heckenbottom said yesterday that not many of the boys will be near fit for the weekend, so that's what was that, 8 already flagged. They've also got a new signing who's needing his visa cleared. That's Vinicius Souza.
Yeah.
So really, they're down to players who weren't even getting a game in the Championship last year, like Osborne, for example. Okay. They have to play. Norwood wasn't even a regular in the Championship last season. So
no, I remember when he played for Brighton in the Championship. And so that was a long time ago.
You'll recognise a few of these names from their last, and like Egan and Baldock, but a lot of those, you know, gems from 3 or 4 years ago are now past it, like the likes of Fleck and Norwood.
So this rumour about Archer from Aston Villa going there. I mean, Archer is in a number of FPL teams' benches, but if he goes to Sheffield, I mean, you imagine he'd be their best player if he did go.
Yeah, they've got, they might actually ironically start the season with a 4.5 million forward in Asula, but he's not going to be a long-term starter. Okay. It's just needs must. But yeah, Archer would be. I'm gonna put him on my bench for game week one, and then just hope he gets a move. Because he'd be, I think, by far the best prospect in that price run. And as you say, it would probably start more weeks than not. I think with maybe with McBurney alongside him. They've also got Traore as well as a new signing, but they're really short at the moment in attack.
So not a good time to face Crystal Palace, a seasoned Premier League club now, and Eze is in particular. A very popular pick amongst FPL managers. Assuming he's okay, but what else has Roy Hodgson been saying about Crystal Palace?
Well, he mentioned this afternoon that Alicia is going to be out for a considerable period, and we knew he was going to be injured. But it sort of helps and hinders in one way. Obviously, you want your best attacking players in the team in order for Eze to be scoring and assisting. But at the same time, that's more set players for Eze to take. You know, Alicia was on a share of corners and free kicks last season. But Eze might have the monopoly on that now. He might have pens as well because Zaha's gone. Injury-wise, apart from Alicia, Matthias Franke, the new signing, he's out, injured. And Will Hughes is as well. Mitchell's fine. He's been past fit. I don't think there was any word on Decoria, who seemed to hobble off last weekend. But I'll double-check that. But I don't think there's been any word from Hodgson on that.
Righty, okay. Could be bad news for Sheffield United, but never know. Crystal Palace away, not notorious high scorers on the road last season. Newcastle against Aston Villa. This has been quite high scoring in the past. But Newcastle, I would imagine, be out for revenge against Aston Villa, particularly Ollie Watkins, who scored heavily against them last time out. But yeah, what shape are Newcastle in when Villa, another top club now, come to visit?
Yeah, it's a tough one to call this because we beat them 4-0 at St James's last season, pre-Emery.
Yeah.
And then they beat us 3-0 and then we drew 3-3 in the summer in the America.
Lots of goals.
Summer series, yeah. Newcastle looking in decent shape. Fabian Scher should be fine. He's trained this week after missing last weekend's doubleheader of friendlies. Kraft and Manquillo, who are now third and fourth choice right backs, they are both out. And the only really notable absentee is Willock. He was not going to be seen until after September, but even then,
yeah,
I'm not even sure he's getting our strongest team now.
Okay.
So I mentioned this in the team news tab. I think this is one of the trickiest teams to predict now, having been one of the easiest last season. Not just because of the Champions League, but because of the depth we've got now. Barnes has come in. Gordon's actually now looking like a possible starter. He's had a great preseason. Anderson's had a great preseason. Yeah. Tussling for starts. Tonali's come in to challenge Longstaff. You've got Murphy and Almiron on the right. Isak and Wilson now look like they're competing for one spot rather than playing as a two with Isak on the left because they haven't shared a pitch in preseason. So there's so much competition now.
Okay.
And we've also got Livramento as well coming in as a deputy to Trippier. So, I'm avoiding Newcastle for the first month.
Okay.
Maybe even beyond that.
Before we move on to Aston Villa, Sihon in the live chat has quite rightly reminded us that we didn't mention Nathan Ferguson. Is Nathan Ferguson still at Crystal Palace?
I think he is. So he was out of contract in the summer, but I did read The Athletic had reported on him being offered a new contract. But
to do what?
ambassadorial role, maybe. I'm not sure if that amounts to... whether he's going to be a first team or not. I'll have to read that article because I think there was a reason why they did it.
Yeah.
Maybe a financial reason, but I think he's still on the books.
Okay. Let's move on to Newcastle's opponent, Villa, there, who I interrupted with the Nathan Ferguson news. Aston Villa. Now there was big news for one of their midfielders this week, wasn't there? Which could hinder their attack.
Yeah, someone who'd terrorised us in pre-season, actually, Buendia. Is out for up to 8 months with a knee injury, a minimum of 6, I think. So that's the end of him for this calendar year. On top of that, they've got a cluster of red flag. We already knew about Ramsey and Moreno. They're both going to be September returns. And then there's a cluster of sort of B-listers who have been absent throughout pre-season. Traore, John Duran and Dan Donker, they're all red flag now as well. They're not going to be available. A lot of red flags, but probably only three of them, Buendia, Moreno and Ramsey, would trouble the start in the 11 line.
Okay, well, let's move on. And also, welcome to all of those that have joined us in the live chat since we started. Getting on for 2,000 of you now. Thanks so much for joining us. That's a lovely live tally there. Do press that like button if you do like what you see. And even if you don't like it, just press the like button anyway. And also, do remember to subscribe so you don't miss out on all our content. Okay, Newcastle, Aston Villa done. Let's move on to Brentford and Tottenham. I'm going to start with the away side first. So apologies to Brentford there, but it's absolutely huge news today, and it kept changing. Kane was going, then he wasn't, then he's going, and now he looks like he is definitely going. So what has been happening at Spurs, and how are they going to line up?
Well, I think he's on his way now, it looks like. I think it was only 24 hours ago when Sky Sports News presenter was sat down in the studio saying Kane's staying, he doesn't want to move, and now he's very much on his way, I think. Without him, at least they have got Richarlison fit. There was suggestions he might be injured as well, but he's been passed fit by Postecoglou this afternoon. Had a small knock, but he's all right. So he will probably start the season through the middle. I expect they will reinforce in attack. They'll probably use some of that Kane money to buy a replacement or at least competition for Richarlison. Mm. But he's looking good for this weekend anyway. So he'll be flanked by Kulusevski and Son. Madison playing slightly further back in midfield. The absentees are Bentancur, Brian Hill, Sessegnon, and I think Forster as well, who's been out all pre-season. But apart from that, Postecoglou says everyone's fine.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you about penalty takers, because with Kane going, Son has taken them in his absence before. Richarlison, I've seen him grab the ball off people. He's been desperate to score. And of course, Madison takes a good penalty. It looks like he's on a lot of set pieces anyway. Who do you think is going to take penalties after Kane goes?
I could imagine if Richarlison's in the team, him just dominating the discussion. Son's record actually is not that good from 12 yards. I had a look at in pre-season, and I think it was like 58% success rate, which is poor. Madison's not infallible either. I think he missed last season.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's an outstanding candidate. Richarlison's not got a bad record. I think it's something like 6 from 7 or something like that. So
yeah, he's quite good.
I could imagine him taking it, but it's just a guessing game, obviously, from me.
Okay, and the home side, Brentford, and Mbeumo is probably the star pick amongst FPL managers. But he had a dead leg midweek following a pre-season friendly. How is he, and how are the rest of the troops there?
Yeah, he's all right. He's fine. He's past fit. Okay. Not only past fit, but Frank said he's start this weekend.
Oh, okay.
He said the same thing about Rico Henry as well, so he'll be in the team. A bit like David Brent saying, you're not losing your job, you're not losing your job, and then skipping past somebody. He didn't say Josh De Silva was going to start.
Okay.
So
poor Josh.
It looks like, yeah, he's going to be on the bench, but he's fit anyway, coming through a knock. The only players that got absent, I think, are obviously even Ivan Toney, suspension, and Frank Onyeka is going to be assessed. Norgaard's fine. He missed a USA trip, I think, for personal reasons, but he got an hour last weekend, so he's all right.
Okay. Okay. Let's move on to Chelsea Liverpool. Tough one to call. This is notoriously quite low scoring. But Liverpool got a whole new midfield, possibly with Casado, possibly not. But they've certainly got McAllister and Szoboszlai there. Meanwhile, Chelsea got a new manager. They cleared out a lot of their players. They're a different looking team now. So we're not sure what we're going to get, really. So let's start with the home side first. What's Pochettino been saying about his troops ahead of this?
Not much team news from him, but Chelsea did put out a bulletin confirming who was out, and obviously Nkunku's out till, well, a few months. Top of that, it's Badiashile, Chalobah, Bettinelli, Broja and Fofana. So there's the six that are out. Madueke's back in training. It's not so much what he said in this press conference as what he said in the previous press conference, which was against Dortmund. After the game, he said that this fifth warm-up game was to test the team that I want. So he's almost done a Bielsa and told us that it's the probably a lot of the team that will start against Liverpool. So that was, I think, James, Thiago, Colwell, Chilwell at the back, Fernandes and Gallagher midfield, Sterling, Chukwuemeka, and it'll be Mudryk now, I think, rather than obviously Nkunku, and Jackson up top. He did say something this afternoon about his goalkeeping situation. Pochettino, he said that Kepa's ahead of Sanchez at the moment.
Okay.
Which has just come in. So he'll start the season between the sticks, okay, with Kepa, and then Sanchez will put a bit more competition over him as the season goes on.
Right, yeah, I was seeing some rumour during the week that Kepa might go to Bayern Munich, were interested in him, but I guess they've just shelled out nearly 100 million with Harry Kane, so I'm not sure if they've got anything left for Kepa.
Well, Kane's all right between the posts as well. I mean, he donned the gloves that time and he looked all right. So maybe they're playing him in between the sticks.
Yeah. And Nkunku obviously is out there. Very popular pick early in pre-season, but unavailable for several months now. Liverpool, was there any team news? And I understand Klopp was very pleased about Casado transfer, but it looks like he might not be going there now.
Yeah, this is the battle of the sides without a six. Both of them in need of a defensive midfielder. There was no team news in the broadcast section, of course. Anything that we get embargoed is going to be after the deadline, so fuck yous. The thing with, much like West Ham, we weren't aware of any issues anyway. So there was only Thiago and Bacic as well, who were long-term absentees, but even they're back in full training. So I think it's more now a personnel call rather than injuries. Who's going to play as the six? Who's going to be is it Jones or McAllister? And which combination up top is going to start? Whichever combination it is, it might not be Darwin because he's I don't think he presses as much as Klopp.
No. Takes. So we think it's going to be Jota, Gakpo, Salah up front?
That's where I went with the predicted lineup. I think the call is between, and it's not a direct position, but it'll be between Jones and Diaz. So if Jones is picked, then Jota plays on the left.
Right.
McAllister's in midfield. If Diaz is picked, Gakpo plays as a 10, and then Jota goes to the middle. So it's probably just that one call between Jones and Diaz. Everyone else looks fairly secure, I think.
Okay, rightio. That's good news. And once again, in that goals imminent video, we were talking about super subs. Jota, Diaz, Darwin, Gakpo, if you don't see them starting and they're in your team, don't worry, because they might get extended run out towards the end of the game, particularly in a tough game like this, Chelsea, where they could be chasing rather than sort of a game where they're just trying to see out a victory. And final game Manchester United against Wolves. So once again, another team, a bit of a transition. Manchester United have been getting, I've got a new striker, got a new goalkeeper, but will either of them play? And what else has Ten Hag been saying?
The goalkeeper will, Onana, but the striker won, that's Højlund. He was going to be out for some weeks now with, I think it's a back problem. So he's not fit. Neither are Heaton, Henderson, Menu, and Malacia, and Diallo as well. Martial is back in training, but that doesn't mean anything because he can soon recur an injury. That's it, I think. I think there's, again, one or two selection conundrums that Ten Hag said he was going to start a right back, and whether it's going to be Garnacho or Sancho playing. I think the rest of the other nine players are pretty certain to start.
Right, yeah. Okay, and Wolves as well. A bit like Sheffield United. They're a team that is selling at the moment. They've just lost their manager. And so all up in the air, really. Got Gary O'Neill back there. What shape are Wolves in for this? And they've had a bit of a mixed pre-season as well, haven't they?
It's really tough to know what they'll do with the lineup because Gary O'Neill's come in and he's missed the whole of pre-season. He's not taking charge of a friendly, so we don't know what he's going to do. Is he just going to continue with the tactical work that Lopetegui's done, or is he going to immediately impart his own ideas? Injury-wise, there's only Cunha who's mentioned. He's missed a bit of training this week, but even he's expected to be fit. Everyone else is fine. So I guess it's as good as mine who we'll send out. Lopetegui sort of signalled what his intended lineup was with the same team against Celtic and Porto, but O'Neill could just come in and rip that up entirely.
Okay, let's have a look at the team news roundup as well. So I've tried to put the sort of the main players and sort of any others in there. So I'll go with the sort of fit to play. There were some doubts about these players, but they're fine. Cher, Tarkowski, Sanderberg, Gvardiel, Ake as well from Manchester City. They're fine to play. Will they play or not? Another matter, but they're fit to play. Richarlison did have a knock midweek, but he's actually fine to play. That's important because Kane is going, so it's very likely he'll start as number nine. Personally, I'm going for Madison, and I'll move down to Richarlison. And while I assess Spurs assets, but Richarlison a very good option there, and could be on penalties, could grab them. And Bomo, absolutely fine after his dead leg. So is Henry for Brentford. Questionable. Souza's got his visa problems there. Calvert-Lewin, he's just a permanent resident here. Fitness concerns as per usual. Don't go for him. Pereira is questionable as well for Fulham. Webster and Lallana are fitness doubts. They may play, they may not, but they're very questionable at this stage. Major doubts. Livramento is just fitness, really. He's come back from a long, long injury layoff from Southampton. So new Newcastle player now could be a great 4.5 option when he's fit. Zinchenko is a major doubt still, just lack of time, lack of pre-season. But he's back in training following that calf injury. Wanini for Nottingham Forest. He looks like he's injured. I don't know how long that will be for. I was hearing some speculation. It could be for some time. But that's speculation at this stage. And Van de Ven, new Spurs player, fitness concerns, so he's a doubt. Out, Willock with his hamstring. New player, Scott, for Bournemouth. Fitness, could be injured for quite some time, so I'll just put general fitness injury. Jesus, his knees problem. So with Elneny, also at Arsenal. Knee injury is going to keep him out. And Nkunku, a long-term injury. You're not going to see him again this year, probably. Maybe at the end of the year. Henderson, that's interesting because Dean Henderson, Manchester United player. Nottingham Forest still interested in him, but he is injured at the moment. So lots going with Turner and Nottingham Forest. So it looks like Henderson won't be with Nottingham Forest soon and won't be playing, but it will happen at some point, I would imagine, in which case he'll rotate with Turner, I would imagine. And Højlund at Manchester United is out with an injury. Buendia, long-term injury with his knee problem. Paulinho injured at Fulham there. And Elise, his hamstring, he's going to be out for a little while there. I think that has got everyone. I think we've got everyone there. All that remains to say, Neil, is good luck with your game week. You feel prepared?
Nope, not in the slightest. I've got an A team set up, and I'm not sure if it's the team that I want, but okay. I'm hoping to finish off this team news as quickly as I can, so I can have a look at my own team.
To go back with it. Thank you, all of those that joined us in the live chat. A few more hundred of you as well. So it's loads of you are joining us. Many, many hundreds. Thank you for putting up with us. I hope that we delivered some good injury news there and team developments from those press conferences. It's been a hectic day. That big news about Kane going, that's absolutely huge. And has a knock-on effect. And the Brighton news is huge as well, because where will Caicedo play? He's going to benefit whether it's Liverpool or Chelsea. You may know by the time you watch this, if you're watching back a bit later. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for joining us. Do remember to press that like button. Do remember to subscribe. Do remember to access all of the tools at Fantasy Football Scout and all the articles there that Neil writes and his team there. Thanks so much for your time. Neil, take care. Until next week. See ya.
YouTube, you up. Bye-bye.